Sairam children, welcome once again to the Children's Hour.
Sairam children, hope you all had a wonderful week since we met you last.
And we had a wonderful week too. We had the Ganesha immersion ceremony last Saturday. Oh, it was so beautiful, children. There were so many beautiful chariots and palanquins.
There was one in the shape of a massive ship, one like a hot air balloon.
And there was in the shape of a white elephant too. It was such a colorful ceremony, children. And if you missed it, you can watch the video of that evening on our website.
So Ganesh, what shall we speak about today?
Nice question. Something interesting and exciting, of course, Prem.
Oh, of course, of course. All right. I will ask you a riddle. You have to guess what it is about.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting for sure. Come on, let me see what it is.
Here we go then. It comes in many, many colors. Most people don't mind any color, but some people get worried when it changes color.
Okay. What else?
Sometimes we cut it and throw it away, but if it falls by itself, we are not happy. Maybe I will give you one more clue.
Oh, thank you. That is very kind of you, Prem.
Okay, here it is. As long as it is on you, you consider it beautiful. But the moment it is off you, it becomes garbage.
Oh my God, that is complex. Come on, children, please help me. It comes in many, many colors. Most people don't mind any color, but some people get worried when it changes color. Sometimes we cut it and throw it away, but if it falls by itself, we are not happy. As long as it is on you, you consider it beautiful, but the moment it is off you, it becomes garbage. Got it.
Really? Tell me then, what is it?
It is our hair. We go for a haircut, but if the hair falls, we are worried.
Oh, correct, Ganesh. And when it is on our head, we find it beautiful and style and fashion it. But the moment we cut the hair and it is falling down, doesn't it become garbage?
That was a nice puzzle, Prem. But children, isn't this a fascinating part of our human body?
It is something we see and feel every day. It comes in so many colors. Black, brown, yellow, blonde, brunette, auburn, copper, red, golden, grey, and of course white.
Oh my God, so many types too. Straight, wavy, curly and kinky. So you can imagine how many combinations are possible. But children, do you know the science behind the hair?
What it is made of and what we should do to take care of it and keep it healthy and looking good, of course.
That is an interesting topic for the doctor to talk to all of us, isn't it? Then why not ask our doctor from GH, Dr. Lata Shree, to tell us more about the human hair.
Om Shri Sai Ram, offering most humble pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Lord. Sai Ram children, today I will speak to you about a structure in the human body which generally adds to our appearance and which is considered as the crowning glory, especially in girls and women. So children, today's topic is hair. Hair is actually a thin protein filament that grows from a structure called hair follicle, which is present within the dermis layer of the skin. And hair is one of the defining characteristics of mammals. The whole of the body, except the palms, the soles and the lips, is covered with hair follicles. The protein that is present in the hair is called keratin, and the diameter of the human hair varies from 0.017 millimeters to 0.18 millimeters. Hair growth begins inside the hair follicle, and in fact, the hair that is present within the hair follicle is the only living part of the hair. The hair that is visible outside is called the hair shaft, and it has no biochemical activity and it is considered as a dead layer of the hair. The base of the hair contains cells that produce the hair shaft. Other structures which are present in the hair follicle include oil-producing sebaceous gland, and this will lubricate the hair, and also there is a muscle called erector pili inside the hair, and this is responsible for causing the hair to stand up, and this is known as goosebumps. You would have all noticed when you are suddenly exposed to cold or when you are excited, your hair stands up and you get goosebumps. And erector pili is responsible for this action of the hair. All natural hair colors are due to two types of hair pigments. Eumelanin is the pigment that is found in brown hair and black hair, and pheomelanin is the one that is dominant in red hair. Blonde hair is the result of very little pigmentation or no pigmentation at all in the hair strand. And grey hair occurs when melanin production decreases or it completely stops. Depending upon the texture, hair can be classified into four varieties. Some of you may have straight hair, and some may have wavy hair, and others curly and kinky hair. So these are the four types of hair based on the structure of the hair. The hair that is present on the head serves as a primary source of heat insulation and cooling for the head, and it also gives protection from ultraviolet radiation exposure, and this is the function of the hair on the head. The eyebrows also contain hair, and these eyebrows provide protection to the eyes from dirt, sweat and rain. And you also would have noticed that these eyebrows play a very important role in non-verbal communication. Various movements of the eyebrows help us to display emotions like sadness, anger, surprise, excitement, and all the Navarasas can be very well depicted through various movements of these eyebrows, and this is one of the functions of the eyebrows. The eyelashes that grow from the eyelid margins also protect the eye from dirt and foreign objects. The process of removal of hair is called depilation, and it can be done through various methods, and most popular ones are shaving and waxing. Epilation is removal of the entire strand of hair, including the part of the hair that is present within the hair follicle. And a very popular way to epilate hair and get rid of unwanted hair on the body is waxing. Waxing involves using a sticky wax and a strip of paper or cloth to pull out the hair along with its root. And waxing is the ideal hair removal technique to keep an area hair-free for longer periods, like say a few weeks. It takes about 3 to 6 weeks for the waxed hair to begin to resurface again, and also hair in these areas which is pre-waxed is found to be of finer and thinner texture when it regrows. So this is a better method compared to using a razor and shaving. One of the latest methods for hair removal is laser removal. Laser hair removal is commonly used as a cosmetic method, and it is a very safe method because it doesn't harm the skin tissues. But laser removal is the process which has to be repeated several times over and over again for a few months to even a couple of years till the hair completely stops growing. But this is a more permanent solution to waxing or shaving. Now we should know about the do's and don'ts of hair care. We should always make sure that the hair is kept clean and healthy. For this, we must wash our hair at least twice a week with a gentle shampoo, and it is also good to condition the hair using a hair conditioner, and this will prevent the buildup of dead skin cells in the hair. And also styling products like hair sprays must be avoided as much as possible because they all cause dryness, flaking and itching of the scalp. If you oil your hair, make sure that you remove all the oil by shampooing the hair. And it is better to air dry the hair after a head bath, or you can use a dry towel, and blow drying is not advisable because it can cause excessive drying and damage to the hair. If your scalp feels dry and flaky, then it means you have a problem of dandruff, and you can use a medicated shampoo which is available over the counter, and this shampoo usually contains selenium sulfide or zinc pyrithione, and you have to leave it on the scalp for 15 minutes and then you can rinse your hair. And then you must wash the hair once again with a regular shampoo, and this may have to be repeated for a few weeks to get rid of dandruff completely. Even after a period of 4 to 6 weeks, if you still see white flakes on the hair, it means you have a problem called seborrheic dermatitis, and this is the time to visit your skin specialist. And girls should not tie up their hair with a rubber band, tight rubber band, very tightly, or they should not plait it very tight because it can put tension on the hair follicles, and this can result in hair fall. Hair fall is a commonly seen problem. To prevent this and to keep the hair healthy, it is very important that we have good nutritious diet and include good amount of proteins in the diet, minerals and vitamins, and iron is especially very important for the good health of the hair. That is why in people with iron deficiency anemia, there is profound hair loss and hair fall. Another problem that we commonly see in children is the problem of head lice. Head louse is a tiny wingless parasite that lives in the hair and that feeds on tiny amounts of blood drawn from the scalp. The lice is a very common problem seen in kids because this problem is very contagious and it is annoying, and sometimes it is very, very tough to get rid of these lice from the head. Though they are frustrating to deal with, the lice are not dangerous. They don't spread any serious disease in the body. Although their bites can make the child's scalp itchy and irritated, they do not produce very serious problems. Scratching of the scalp can lead to secondary infection, and this can sometimes produce problems. It is best to treat the head lice quickly as soon as you notice it on the head, because it can very easily and rapidly spread from person to person. Though they are very small, these lice can be easily seen by the naked eye, so it can be manually removed also. The lice eggs are known as nits, and they look like tiny yellow, tan color or brown color dots before they hatch. These lice lay nits on hair shafts close to the scalp, where the temperature is perfect to keep them warm until they hatch. The nits sometimes may look like dandruff, but they cannot be easily shaken off, unlike the dandruff. Lice are highly contagious, as I told you, and they quickly spread from person to person, especially in group settings like schools, childcare centers, during sports activities and also camps. Though these lice cannot fly or jump, they are the parasites which have specially adapted claws that let them crawl on the hair and cling firmly to the hair. This makes them difficult to be removed. And they spread mainly through head-to-head contact, but sharing of clothing, bed linens, combs and brushes, hats can also pass these lice from one person to another person very easily, And kids are most prone to catching this because they tend to have close physical contact and also they share their personal items. But pets cannot catch the lice problem from a child, and the pets will also not transmit this from people to people. So you need not worry about contacting this problem from the pets. To remove the lice and nits by hand, you should use a fine tooth comb on your child's wet and conditioned hair. The hair must be wet because it will immobilize the lice and the nits for some time. And when you condition your hair, it makes it easier for the comb to go through the hair and remove these nits. And this must be repeated several times until you get rid of this problem completely. In addition to manual removing, you can also use medicines that are available over the counter, like lice anti-lice shampoos and anti-lice lotions, which can be applied on the head and kept left overnight, and the next day the hair can be shampooed. But the wet hair has to be combed again to remove the nits. And this may have to be repeated after a couple of weeks again to get rid of these nits completely. These are some of the common problems related to hair that are seen in kids. And following these precautions, we can have clean, healthy and glowing hair. Jai Sair.
Children, see, Ganesh and I are also learning so many important things with all of you. Such a simple part of our body, but it has so much biology to it. How really fascinating is God's creation?
Very true, Prem. Thanks to our children, we too are learning so many interesting facts. But there is one thing about hair that is quite a puzzle for me.
Oh, another puzzle. What is it?
No, not a puzzle in that sense. Something we do with our hair. You know, children, there are a few temples in India where people go and offer their hair to the deity of the temple.
Yes, there are many temples like that. The most famous being a place called Tirupati in Andhra Pradesh. Thousands of people go to that temple, tonsure their head and offer their hair to God.
Yes, Prem, I am talking about that very ritual. Why do people offer their hair to God? Just when we started this program, you told that riddle when you said if hair falls off, it becomes garbage. Then how can we offer something which has become a waste to God? Isn't that bad? Still thousands offer their hair to God.
Ganesh, you have asked a very, very good question today. It is very important to learn the spirit behind this act, because we cannot take this literally. We have always said, isn't it, children, that God is our true mother and father, right? Then can you imagine, it is your mother's birthday and you give her a very beautifully wrapped gift in a box. She opens it and finds your hair in that.
That would be crazy, definitely, Prem.
Then why will we offer our hair to God, who is our divine mother? When I was in school, a teacher once explained to us why we do this hair offering.
Oh, really? Tell us, Prem. I am very eager to know about this.
Hair, as we all know, adds beauty to us. We consider it as something that makes us look good and attractive. That is why we take good care of it and sometimes even color our hair when it starts becoming gray or white, right? And what happens when we feel that we are looking very beautiful or handsome? Don't we feel proud?
Of course, yes. That is why they say, he or she is behaving like a proud peacock. Beauty gives us pride.
Very correct. And we all know that God loves the quality of humility. He loves his children to be free of pride. But to completely give up pride is a lifelong process.
Yes, yes. We all are striving for that. Even Jesus says that to find a place in the kingdom of heaven, one must be humble.
Very true. So by willingly giving up this hair and atoning this bald look, we are symbolically offering pride to God. We are taking our pride and offering it to God. We are accepting upon ourselves a look which is less beautiful than when we had hair. It is a reminder to ourselves to be humble.
That is a very beautiful explanation given by your teacher. But isn't it funny? Some people, to unshore their head, offer their hair to God and then wear a fancy cap so that they can continue to look good.
That is true. So children, did you understand? It really does not matter what we offer to God. What really matters is the feeling with which we offer. Forget hair. What can we offer to God?
Oh yes, this whole world belongs to God. All the wealth in this world, all fruits and flowers belong to God. Then what can we offer to Him? We may offer anything, but what God accepts is only the feeling with which we offer.
That feeling should be suffused with love and humility. Giving up pride is a very important offering to God.
You know, children, there is a very, very interesting story about this. How, when offered with pride, you can just not satisfy God. It is a very, very nice story. And interestingly, this is also a Ganesha story. So our celebration of the Ganesha festival is still not over in the children's hour, I think. Okay. Over now to Sumana Madam, who is going to tell us this interesting story.
Sairam children, so you all must have witnessed recently the grand Ganesh Chaturthi celebrations. And do you remember the story narrated during the last week's children's hour? It was about the important lesson that Lord Ganesha taught us. Do you remember what was that? Yes, right. That nobody is more important to us than our parents. We must always respect them and take care of them. In today's story time, let us learn why Lord Ganesha is called Lambodhara, the one with a huge belly. Children, have you wondered how our Lord Ganesha got his pot belly? Well, the story goes back to the first encounter between Ganesha and Kubera. In Hindu mythology, Kubera is the treasurer of God's wealth. He controls all the riches in the world. Kubera lived in the Himalayan mountains with Lord Shiva and Goddess Parvati as his neighbors. This Kubera was slowly becoming arrogant. He was vain and proud. This pride led him to believe that he was greater than the gods. So one day, he decided to host an extravagant feast for the gods, such a feast as never had been hosted before. And he believed that would increase his prestige and show all men and gods the extent of wealth and influence. Shiva was his patron. Kubera owed all his wealth to Lord Shiva. The Lord, who had been pleased with his devotion and had given him the boon that his wealth would never diminish, no matter how much he spent. Now, Kubera wanted to show off to the world how rich and hospitable he was. Though all the devas had come and appreciated Kubera's palace and his hospitality, he was not satisfied. He thought to himself, "Only if I get Lord Shiva and the goddess to my party, would people praise me even more. When people realize that even the great god and the goddess looked at my palace in awe, people would respect me even more." With this in mind, he went to Mount Kailash, Lord Shiva's home. As he entered the home, he saw the simple surroundings and smirked. Kubera, being the god of wealth, was a complete contrast to Lord Shiva. While While Shiva covered himself in ashes, Kubera draped himself in yards of finest silk. While Shiva wore snakes as ornaments, Kubera was decked in glittering gold. While Shiva lived in seclusion among the monks and hermits, Kubera lived in the lap of luxury in a huge palace filled with every possible comfort. Seeing this, Kubera thought, being such a great god, can't he even provide a better home for his family? Why, the living room of my palace is larger than Shiva's home. And as he was lost in thought, he saw Lord Shiva and Parvati were sitting and talking. He bowed before the Lord and the goddess. What brings you here, Kubera? Shiva asked, giving the all-knowing smile. Kubera spoke slowly. My lord, I have organized a feast. And Parvati interrupted. Feast? What is the occasion, Kubera? Kubera fumbled. How could he explain that he was giving his party merely to show off how wealthy he was? That would be so embarrassing. So he said, Goddess, I wanted to celebrate. I mean, celebrate life. Because life is so enjoyable. So I'm hosting a feast. Shiva looked at Parvati and gave a knowing smile. They knew that Kubera had kept the party for no reason other than to show off his wealth. Parvati replied, Oh Kubera, I would be so glad to attend the celebration. It's just that we are so busy. But don't be disappointed. We will send our son Ganesha for your feast. My son has a voracious appetite and he's always hungry. Will you be able to satisfy his hunger? If you are not sure, you can, of course, withdraw your invitation. Kubera looked at the little boy with the elephant face and wondered if the child could even begin to do justice to the feast he had planned. He resented the blow to his pride that they doubted his ability to satisfy a mere boy's hunger. Anyway, Kubera was disappointed because Shiva's presence would have been a feather in his cap. But at least he was sending Ganesha. It would have been a terrible snub if no one from the Shiva family were to come. On the feast day, many guests turned up. Thousands of them, both gods and men. They were accommodated in a huge banquet hall built especially for this purpose. The chief guest, Lord Ganesha, was the last to come. The little boy, in his simple clothes, looked completely out of place in the midst of the richness of this mansion. And Kubera welcomed Ganesha and insisted on showing him the beauties of his magnificent mansion before leading him to the dining room, where the tables groaned under the weight of the dishes laid out for this little boy. Kubera started. Little sir, do you see those ornate pillars? It is built by the most precious stones. Kubera, Ganesha said sternly, do you really think I came to admire all these things? I am very hungry. Kubera flustered and shook his head. What? The moment he entered, he began to ask for food. Anyway, he was shown to a seat of honor. Kubera summoned all his servants. He said, quick, lay out the plates. Ganesha is going to eat the food with us. But this he said, smirking at Ganesha. How much could this little elephant-headed boy eat after all? Kubera was just about to find out the answer to this question the hard way. Kanisha gulped the food down in no time and asked for more. He was given a second helping and then a third, but his appetite remained undiminished. Kubera ordered his army of cooks to prepare more food, but they could not keep pace with Ganesha's eating frenzy. The elephant god was eating food meant for thousands. When he had finished all the food set before him, he began to shout, "Give me more!" And then, getting up impatiently to his feet, rushed to the enormous kitchen and devoured all the food there. Kubera was aghast. All the food was gone and the guests had not been fed yet. Worse still, Ganesha was still hungry. "You call this a feast?" Ganesha shouted at Kubera. "I'm going home." Just then, the servants brought in some more food, which Ganesha finished even before Kubera could blink. The servants were getting apprehensive as they brought in the last amount of food they had cooked, and it vanished into Ganesha's stomach like the rest of the food. Kubera was shocked. He watched as a still hungry Ganesha pillowed hungrily. "Food!" The servants flustered and whispered to Kubera that the food in the palace was over. Kubera was alarmed. "Go to the surrounding villages and get some food immediately." The servants and the soldiers ran out. In a hurry, they brought some food and laid it before Ganesha. All that vanished into Ganesha's stomach. "Is this all you have?" "That was just an appetizer. I want more food," Ganesha yelled. As Kubera backed away and said in a frightened tone, "Little sir, all my food is over." "Over?" Ganesha yelled. "Over? How could this much quantity be enough for me? You cook so little and you call me for some feast?" Ganesha was getting more and more furious with every passing second. "Kubera, you promised my mother you would feed me." Frightened Kubera ran out of the palace. He ran and ran and ran straight to the only person who could protect him from Ganesha. Kubera ran to Kailash and flung himself at Lord Shiva's and Goddess Parvati's feet. "My Lord and Mother Parvati, please save me, please." Kubera was breathless as he tried speaking. "What is the matter?" Shiva asked with a twinkling eye. Kubera almost broke down crying. "Lord, please do not make fun of me. I was vain and proud, thinking I could do anything because I had wealth. Please save me." Kubera looked back to see if Ganesha was behind him. "Please save me from Ganesha." Goddess Parvati took some rice from the house and gave it to Kubera. "Go and give this to Ganesha." "Mother, I gave him a feast fit for thousands of people and he is still hungry. Do you really think this morsel of rice will satisfy him?" Lord Shiva smiled. "Kubera, you gave Ganesha a feast with pride to show off your money, which will never satisfy him. If you give Ganesha anything with a clean mind, a pure heart, whatever you give will satisfy him." Kubera looked at the three-eyed god very gratefully. He accepted the rice. Just then, Ganesha entered the house and was looking at Kubera. But when Lord Ganesha saw the subdued Kubera, he stopped and gave him a dazzling smile. Kubera hesitatingly came forward and offered Lord Ganesha the rice. Sir, I hope this satisfies you. Lord Ganesha accepted and ate the rice with content. Then gave a satisfied smile, patted his belly and said to Kubera, I am full. Thank you, Kubera. After having learned this important lesson, Kubera went home a wiser man, as Ganesha had eaten to his full. Children, isn't it so obvious that our Lord looks only for a pure loving heart, a simple heart? A handful of rice given with love and devotion satisfies God more than the costliest or the tastiest or the richest of dishes. Thus, Lord Ganesha taught Kubera a lesson in humility. Ganesha's endearing potbelly is equated with space. It is vast enough to hold all the wisdom in the world and all life. Ganesha, the Lord of Perfection, has the capacity to accept, to stomach peacefully all the experiences of life, whether pleasant or unpleasant, whether happiness or difficulty. Children, this is the inner significance of the pot belly of Lord Ganesha. Therefore, he is called Lambodhara. Children, so with this, I take leave of you, Sai Ram.
So now we know why Ganesha has such a large stomach. Poor Kubera. Luckily it was our sweet Lord Ganesha. If it was anybody else, he would have gobbled up Kubera himself.
Oh, that's true. But Prem, it is so fascinating, isn't it? Few weeks back, Sumana Madam told us a story where Lord Krishna was so hungry, he then just ate one leaf that was left over in the vessel and his stomach was full. Not only that, the stomach of Durvasa and his thousands of disciples were also filled.
And in this story, Kubera offered to Ganesha food that even thousands of people cannot finish. And Ganesha ate everything and said, this is only my appetizer. I am still hungry.
Isn't it clear from both of these examples, children, that God does not feast on our offerings, but feasts and relishes the feelings and love with which we offer. And that is why Swami would always tell us, God is Bhavapriya, one who is pleased with our feelings.
Children, keep this lesson always in your heart and try to purify your feelings. Then God will always and always be with you.
And children, do you know that today there is an important festival that is celebrated just to teach us this spirit? It is called Bakrid or Eid al-Adha, which means the festival of sacrifice. It has a beautiful story behind it. Maybe sometime we can share that story with all of you.
But definitely not today, because Ganesh and I have spoken enough. And as we always say, how can we have a children's hour without even one child?
Exactly. So it is time for the last segment of today, a conversation with a child. And today, children, we have someone from a country from where we have not had a guest before. I am not revealing it. You listen to the conversation and you yourself will know.
Saram, dear listeners, welcome again to a children's conversation. And here we have a very, very interesting kid. I think for the first time, we are having a little one from China. Sai Ram Kaira.
Sai Ram.
Did I pronounce your name right?
Yeah.
How do you say that again?
Kaira.
Kaira. So Kaira, how old are you?
10.
So you're visiting India for the first time from China or you've been here before?
I've been here before.
You've been here before, so which is better, India or China?
China.
China is better, okay. So tell us about China. We don't know anything about China. Which place in China are you from?
A place near Hong Kong.
Place near Hong Kong. Is that a city or it's a small town?
It's a city.
What's it called?
Shenzhen.
Shenzhen, okay. So definitely cities are better there than here?
Yeah.
So you go to an international school, I believe?
Yeah.
So you have friends from all countries?
Yes.
So how is it to have people like that? You know, if you study in a school in India, you'll have all Indian friends. Of course, you have enough variety here, mm-hmm. given the different languages we have here. Do you have different languages in China too?
Well, yeah.
How many?
I don't know.
How many do you know?
Only one.
So you can speak Mandarin?
Yes.
So how do you say that it's such a beautiful day today in Mandarin?
今天很漂亮.
You know to even write Mandarin?
Yeah, but I don't write really good.
Okay, so how many alphabets are there in Mandarin?
There are no alphabets. It's okay. Basically just strokes.
Mm. It's like there's a character for a word, or how do they write?
There are thousands of characters you mm-hmm. have to memorize, and there's strokes. So different strokes make a word, and some tiny kind of words make another word.
Wow, that sounds complicated, because I remember reading somewhere that if you have to be able to read a Chinese newspaper, you should know a minimum of 5,000 characters.
Yeah.
That's a lot. I think even if you learn Mandarin, you have to be intelligent then.
Yeah, it's hard. But I was born in China, so it's easier for me. So
it's easier for you to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of Chinese friends?
I used to. I just moved, so okay. I'm trying to find friends.
You have to make friends?
Yeah.
So can you tell me, what are your other interests? Singing, dancing?
Singing, dancing, swimming, mm-hmm. and like drawing.
Okay.
And that's basically it.
So what are your favorite subjects at school?
Art.
Art. Are you good at drawing or painting?
I'm not particularly good at either of them, but I like both of them.
You're fond of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a very good art teacher at school? How did you get interest in art? I mean, when did you figure out that you like art?
When I was tiny, when I first had my art class, mm-hmm. I just liked using the paper, and the way the pencil mm-hmm. used to go across the paper seemed really fun to me.
Is it? Means really fun, means you just like doing strokes on the paper. How did it?
Well,
did it fascinate you that you could create something there?
Yeah.
So you're a creator then. So I think even if you learn music, you would prefer to be a songwriter or a composer?
Not really.
Not really. So what kind of music do you like?
I like all kinds of music.
Indian music?
Mm-hmm.
Classical?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Classical Hindustani?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, just not the really long and boring ones.
That's why I was asking you. It takes a lot of getting used to like Hindustani or Indian classical music.
Mm-hmm.
So Kaira, tell us, you said you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
20 years from now, what is Kaira going to be doing?
Maybe staying at home.
Staying at home? So Kaira wants to be a homemaker.
I just want to stay at home and take care of kids and pets and a husband who has to be nice.
My God, Kaira, that's the sweetest answer I've heard from a kid. You think you'll be happy doing that? Taking care of children, taking care of your spouse?
Yeah. I've always liked the idea of cleaning the house, and before I came to India, I was sleeping in the house, but when it was supposed to be my bedtime.
So you, back home in China,
mm-hmm.
you help your mom with cleaning the house and things like that?
Well, we have a cleaning lady who does that, and she's usually done by the time I get home from school, but on weekends I like helping her.
Okay, so you like cleaning the house. I think you have some fascinating likes. I've not come across many children who like to clean the house, like mm-hmm. to take care of the family.
mm-hmm.
So when you grow up, you want to take care of children and take care of your family and clean your house and have a beautiful house.
Yeah.
And you like to have a garden too?
Mm-hmm.
Love plants?
Yes.
It's a lot of effort. Is that okay? You'll have to sweat it out. You'll have to... Maintaining your garden is not easy.
I know. I've tried, but I still like him.
Okay. It's again something like you can create. You can say that, you know, I'm taking care of this garden. This flowers come from my plant.
It's nice to do gardening and all that.
Mm-hmm. So when you grow up and you say you're going to take care of kids, how will you bring up your children? You have any idea? Like, what will you tell them? Like, what would you teach them?
I really don't know. Right now, I'm not sure, but when I grow up, maybe I'll have an idea.
Okay, so according to you, let's say, how should a child behave?
Good.
And what is good?
I don't know. I guess if I had children, I'd let them participate in lots of activities and clubs and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you may not be taking care of children now, but you're a child yourself, so you must be knowing what's right, what's wrong,
mm-hmm.
what gets you into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So what gets you into trouble? What would you not like, say, your daughter to do?
Really don't know. I just guess I don't know.
So what do you do when your mother gets angry with you? Is there anything? Do you ever get your mother upset?
Well, when she's sleeping and I wake her up, she gets really angry and she just, you know, doesn't talk to me and just goes back to sleep. I don't like that.
So when you become a mom, you'll be somebody who'll wake up as soon as your kid wakes you up.
Maybe.
What else will you teach your children? Like, you know, what is right and wrong, and what's the best way to behave in a crowd? If I ask you,
I don't know.
Do you think that you should talk to people, or you think that you should keep quiet?
Well, when I don't know somebody, I don't talk much. But once I know people, I like talking to them.
So if I were to ask you, are you a talkative person or a silent person?
Both.
Both. Depends on where you are.
Mm-hmm.
So you like to talk?
Yeah.
You're just hoping for the right company to talk to?
Yes.
So when you're back home and you're with your friends?
I talk with them, but if I don't know somebody, I won't talk much.
So you have a lot of friends?
Here, I don't have... At school, I do, but...
In general, do you make a lot of friends?
Yeah.
So if I were to become your friend, what should I be?
A person who's nice.
And what's being nice?
Being nice means you're not mean to people or being rude to people.
So you should be accepting me as a friend and start talking a lot to me then. Mm-hmm. Have you seen me being mean to anybody?
Well, I don't know you that well,
yeah.
So...
So after you know a person, you should realize that person is not so mean and not so rude. Is that all?
Yeah.
I mean, you won't expect anything else from your friend?
No.
You don't feel that friend should remember your birthday and give you gifts on your birthday?
No.
No?
No.
That's not mandatory for being a friend?
No, I don't remember the birthdays of my friends either.
But still, you're a good friend, so it doesn't make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going back to China? You're starting a new year?
Yeah.
Which year is that?
Fifth.
Fifth. So you're going from fourth to fifth. So what do you think you have to study to be a homemaker? So if you want to be a doctor, you know clearly what you have to study. If you have to be a lawyer, you know what you have to study. But if you have to be a homemaker, if you have to be a caretaker of your family?
I feel I should know how to cook and how to wake up on time and I should know how to take care of people. That's it.
So do you need to go to school for that?
Not really.
So are you going to tell your mom that I'm getting nothing from school, I might as well go and learn to care for people?
But then when I grow up, I might want to be something else.
Oh, your ambition might change?
I'm planning to actually earn some money until I get a husband, then leave the job.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of a job will you look at? Would you like to be an engineer, a doctor, or an architect? Or
I've always wanted to be a teacher.
Teacher, wow, that's nice. That's as close to being a homemaker as it can be.
Yes.
Can still be taking care of little ones.
Mm-hmm.
You had a nice teacher or interesting teacher at school, seeing whom you felt that, oh, it's so nice to be a teacher.
I liked all of my teachers except my second grade teacher.
Okay, let's not go there if it's unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
But what does it take to make a good teacher?
You should know how a child feels, mm-hmm. and you should know what a child would want, and you have to be nice to them, but not that nice that they just feel you're not a teacher and you're just their friend.
Okay, so you have to strike that balance between being a friend and being a disciplinarian teacher.
Yeah.
So you don't like those teachers who are very, very friendly and say you can do whatever you want and you can make all the noise that you want.
I'm not very fond of those teachers.
So teachers got to be strict too.
Yeah, but not too strict or else they're just mean.
So that's what it's got to be a good balance between being friendly and being strict.
Yeah.
So when you become a teacher, you'll be tilting towards strictness or tilting towards friendliness?
Friendliness.
Okay. A little bit, just a pinch of strictness. Would you like to be a mathematics teacher, English teacher, geography teacher?
Well, I just want to be a homeroom teacher, who takes care of math, science and all that.
Okay.
That's it.
That's nice. You got your future clearly planned out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That's very nice. May you have a very, very beautiful family when you grow up.
Mm.
Do you like cooking otherwise? Have you learned cooking?
Yeah, once I cooked for my whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And
whole family?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I usually like cooking breakfast on Saturdays and Sundays, and once I cook dinner and lunch. So I like cooking.
My God, you're 10-year-old and you can cook a breakfast and dinner for a whole family. That's quite a lot.
It's only 3 people.
Yeah, still 3 is a good number still. That's very nice. So nice of you to talk to us, Kara.
Mm-hmm.
Were you happy talking to us or way too nervous to be happy?
So-so.
So-so. But we were happy talking to you. So thank you for coming by. Have a safe journey back to China.
Mm-hmm.
All the best to you.
Okay.
Sairam.
Sairam.
So children, that was Kaira from China. And we are sure she is one day going to make her brilliant mother and homemaker, bringing up her children who are beautiful inside and outside.
Well, very beautifully put, Ganesh. Just external beauty is definitely not enough. Internal beauty is important too. And that is the beauty of character. So children, praying to Swami that you all grow up to be beautiful people, we take leave of you.
As always, not before promising to be back next week with another interesting episode of Children's Hour. Till then, be good children and have a lot of fun. Sai Ram children.
Sai Ram children.
धड़कन तुम्हारी सांसों में बसती है तो मेरी माँ
दिल की अनोखी सी धड़कन तुम्हारी सांसों में बसती है तो मेरी माँ
नजरों में भी तो है ख्यालों में तो है तेरे बिना रह न पाए नजरों में भी तो है ख्यालों में तो है तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे
साईं मां बदलाया दो न जाना कभी तुम।